Let's turn together to Psalm 133. The last couple of times I've spoken from this segment of the Psalms of Ascent, beginning with Psalm 120, and they go to Psalm 134. 15 psalms that were sung as the people of Israel went up to one of the pilgrim feasts. This is coming near to the end of the journey. This psalm of David describes the blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Father, we thank you that you will speak by your Spirit from this inspired part of your word that you led David to write. Open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, touch our hearts to respond. In Yeshua's name, amen. This is a song that we often sing, Hine Matov Umanaim. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity is a blessed thing. It's a good thing. Good emphasizes the fact that unity is objectively good, that God sees that it is good for us to live in unity as his people. He says, for brethren to dwell together, indicating that unity is a family thing. You remember on that occasion when Yeshua was teaching and his mother and his brothers had decided that he was crazy. And so they were looking for him. And they came and they found him. And the people around said, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. And Yeshua responded, who are my mother? Who are my brothers? It is those who do the will of God. The people who do the will of God, they are my mother and my sister and my brother. They are my family. All of us who have placed our trust in Yeshua as our Messiah enter into a family relationship with him and with each other. And it is good for us as a family to live together in unity. And I think the picture of unity is also enhanced by the pilgrim festivals that this song would be sung at as people went up to Jerusalem. The festival of Pesach, Passover, is a remembrance that God has rescued us all from slavery by the blood of the Lamb. Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, is a reminder that God has brought us together by His Spirit. And Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, is a reminder that God is leading us to a glorious fulfillment of His good purposes, that the final harvest will indeed come in. These are also gatherings in which the people of God worship together. We remember together. We thank God together for His good gifts and His blessings. And we celebrate together. So he speaks of the objective goodness of unity. You remember Shaul when he wrote in his letter to the Romans that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is God's good and acceptable and perfect will. The will of God is good. God himself is good. And so the unity that he wants to bring us and give us and help us to walk in, that unity is good as well. And then he says that this unity is also pleasant, that it is not just like green medicine, that it's good for us, but it tastes awful. but rather that unity is also pleasant. It's delightful. It's sweet. It's agreeable. It's lovely. You and I have tasted that unity. We have experienced it here and are experiencing it in this fellowship. And we've experienced it in other places with believers. The blessedness of unity, of caring for one another, how pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. There are so many aspects of life in God that highlight the pleasantness of that life with Him. And I was thinking of some of these where the same word pleasant is used to describe the experience. In Proverbs 22, verses 17 and 18, we read these words, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips." The word of God, the wise counsel of God, the insight that He has given to people in writing His word, His inspired word, is a pleasant thing, especially as we keep them within our hearts. Have you experienced that, where your heart has been so warmed and refreshed as God has brought His word to your mind, perhaps in the watches of the night, perhaps at that occasion when you needed it the most, that He spoke to you and you found it is a pleasant thing for His word to be in my heart? And then David on another occasion wrote in Psalm 16, that messianic psalm, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places," speaking of his own experience, but also speaking of the experience of Yeshua, the Messiah. All that Yeshua went through, this was his testimony, that the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will You allow Your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The same word, pleasant. The presence of the Lord and the path that He sets for us, no matter how hard and challenging it is, the presence of the Lord as He walks with us is pleasant. There are pleasures, pleasants, forevermore at His right hand. And we can walk in that kind of fellowship with Him. And then, in yet another psalm, in Psalm 135, we read this, "Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant." It is pleasant to have the Word of God in our hearts. It is pleasant to have the manifest presence of God with us and to know that His purposes and plans for us fall in pleasant places. And it is also pleasant for us to worship, to sing praise to the Lord. And it is pleasant for us to live together, to dwell together in unity. That's God's blessing. God's blessing to us is unity. And it is good and it is pleasant. And then David writes of two images of this unity. The first is the image of oil. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edges of his garments. The oil, the priestly oil. If we turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 30, we read a description of this oil that was to be made as the anointing oil for the priests. Chapter 30 and verse 22 and following. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil, and you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it, according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. This oil, this anointing oil, was precious. It was costly. It was rich. And it was also fragrant. So the oil pictures for us the blessing of God upon our life, that unity is like this anointing oil. It is fragrant and it is rich. It is costly. It is precious. You and I have been called by Yeshua to be a family of priests, and we have been anointed by the oil of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. That anointing makes us fragrant. It is a pleasant experience for us to be covered with this anointing, to be blessed in this way. Shaul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 2, verses 14 and following, that you and I, we are the fragrance of Messiah. To people who don't know Messiah, that's not a very good fragrance. In fact, it's the fragrance of death. But to us who know Messiah, that fragrance is the fragrance of life. And who of us is able to handle such a privilege and a responsibility? This privilege and this responsibility comes from the Lord, and it is the gift of the anointing of His Spirit upon our lives. Well, then, in addition to the picture of oil, anointing oil, rich and fragrant, there is also the next picture David writes of in Psalm 133 and verse 3. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Dew. Have you ever walked in the morning dew? I have walked in the mountains in the early morning when the dew was heavy and my clothes would get soaked from walking through it. The richness of the dew is a refreshment. It provides life. Mount Hermon is one of the tallest mountains in the area, over 9,000 feet high. And it is in the midst of an arid area. And yet it is always green and lush. And it is because of the dew. Yeshua is a dew to us who brings refreshment. He is a dew to us who makes us fruitful. The dew is what brings to us fruitfulness and life. And God Himself describes the fact that He is like the dew. If we turn to His prophet Hosea, chapter 14, He describes Himself in this way. Hosea chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. And then Yahweh speaks, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread, his beauty shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. God is like the dew to us when he brings us together in unity. He brings refreshment, and he brings fruitfulness and life and vitality and health and growth. His anointing of oil and his refreshing of the dew, that is what unity is like. It's refreshing and life-giving and encouraging to us. In this psalm, the oil runs down and the dew descends. And it's the same word. So three times, running down, descending. Three times, the picture is that the blessing of unity comes down like oil and like dew. And that highlights to us that this unity that we experience in the family of God is a gift. It is not something that you and I can work up. It is not uniformity. Occasionally, when I ride public transit to my work responsibilities at UBC, I see a number of young people get on the bus who are all dressed alike. Some schools do that. They have everybody wear the same uniform. That is called uniformity. That is not unity. Sometimes there's the mistaken idea that if we all look alike, we're unified. And that is not true. Unity is a gift from God that is given internally. The unity is rooted in the Spirit of God being in us. And there's a picture here together in Psalm 133, the verse 1, it says, for brethren to dwell together in unity. It literally reads, Yachad, Yachad, for brethren to dwell together, together. And that same picture was used on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, where it says all the believers were together in one place. It's literally together, together. So what a blessing it is. It's an internal thing that God gives us unity, that we can be in the same place and also the same heart, the same mind, because of the presence of the Spirit. You know, this unity is something that Yeshua prayed for us. In his high priestly prayer in John 17, in verse 20 and following, Yeshua prayed, I do not pray for these alone, that means his immediate disciples who were right there with him, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word. That means us. Yeshua was praying for us. And here's what he prayed, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Yeshua prayed for this supernatural unity that is based on his Spirit, based on the love relationship that we have in him. It is a supernatural gift unity that we have. It is a oneness like the Father and the Son have. There is the Father and there is the Son and there is the Ruach HaKodesh. And while there are three persons, there is one God. It is a profound mystery, but it is a great reality that God has revealed to us. And that is true of us. The picture often in Scripture is of us as a body, that you and I are not all the same, that you aren't all eyes or all a hand or all a foot or all a mouth or all an ear, but we are the body. We each have a particular position, a place, a role, an assignment in the body. And the unity is in Yeshua and His Spirit, and we work together like a symphony, like a body, but we are diverse. There is a wonderful blend of unity and diversity that Yeshua has created for us. And this unity, Shaul wrote about it in Ephesians 4. He says that this is a unity that God has created, and you and I cooperate with Him to maintain it. We don't create it. We don't stir it up. Rather, we live in it as we walk ever deeply, ever more deeply in Yeshua Himself. He is working in us. Yeshua says in Ephesians 4, He is working in us to bring us to the unity of the knowledge and of the faith of the Son of God. I've thought a lot about that. And for a long time, I thought that meant that I needed to get to know Yeshua better. And He was bringing us all to faith in Yeshua and to knowledge of Yeshua. But as I looked at that more carefully, what I think is happening is that God is so working in us that we have the same faith Yeshua had, and that we have the same knowledge Yeshua had, that we trust, we are coming to trust more and more the Father just like Yeshua trusted Him. And we are coming to know the Father just like Yeshua knew Him. And when you and I are focused on the Father like that, that brings us all together. We get closer and closer together. Now, the reality is that you and I are fallen. We still have a fallen nature in us. And so there are going to be times when I will offend you. And there will be times when you offend me. Even with all of this glory and unity that God gives us, even with the presence of the Spirit, there are still going to be times when I do something dumb, when I say something I shouldn't say. And therefore, the root of this unity is rooted in two qualities that I see in Yeshua. In Yeshua, in Philippians 2, it says that He laid aside His rights, that He laid aside not who He was, but He laid aside His rights and privileges as God, that He was humble. And Shaul says that you and I should have that same attitude as Yeshua. I was talking to our brother Ellie this week, and he shared with me that he was thinking about Yeshua's self-emptying. Three things that Yeshua emptied Himself of. He had no form or comeliness. His glory was hidden. He had no reputation. And He had no certain dwelling place. Yeshua was humble. And He calls us to that same humility. And as He builds that in us, that will help us when we are offended and when we offend, to be gracious to one another, to be tender-hearted and forgiving one another, just as Yeshua forgave us. And then the other quality that Yeshua is building in us that helps us to maintain this unity and to experience it when we have offended each other is love. Love does no harm to its neighbor, said Shaul. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. He also wrote in that same letter to Romans, that the Spirit of God pours out the love of God in our hearts. And in Philippians, he wrote that it is God who is at work in us to will and to work for His good pleasure. That means that even in the midst of times when I may offend you or you may offend me, that God is working, motivating me to want that unity and also giving me the power to work in cooperation with Him to maintain that unity. How good and how pleasant it is to dwell together in unity, to experience it like that precious oil flowing over Aaron, fragrant, aromatic, smooth, and rich, and to experience it like the dew on the mountain that brings refreshment, that brings life. David concludes the psalm by saying, "For there, with all of that unity, there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Life to the full, life in abundance. And we could all bear witness to that. That to live together in unity is full of life. And it's supernatural. Over and over again, I would remind us, it's supernatural. It's not something that you and I could ever work up. And therefore, when it exists, it declares to the whole world, there is something special going on here. There is something supernatural about that group of people. Some people are concerned that congregations of believers seem to fight and quarrel a lot. But I had a friend who pointed out that if you put anybody else in the world as close together as we are, they would be at each other's throats all the time. We have the supernatural presence of God to keep helping us love and care for each other and forgive each other and work it out. And we're headed together. We have the direction, the focus on the Lord Yeshua, who is in us, who has prayed for us, who died to remove the barriers for us. And so blessed be His name, that He will give us life forevermore and declare His blessing over us as we live in this precious unity. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we praise You for bringing us into Your family. And we praise You that You've done it through this picture that we've just shared, the table, the broken matzah, and the juice that we've shared, that You, through the Yeshua sacrifice, through that sacrifice, You have broken down the barrier between Jew and Gentile and between person and person, and You have brought us together under the banner of the cross and the banner of His great love. We thank You, Father, that over and over You will remind us that we, Your people, have more in common than we have differences. And that You have blended us together as a body with different assignments. We look different, but it's all the same Spirit, all the same Lord. And Your goal is to bring everything together in Yeshua, that He would have the preeminence. So thank You, Father, that You'll continue to work this beautiful, pleasant and good unity in us as a congregation, that the world may know that Yeshua is indeed the Messiah. And thank You, Father, for that reminder that the struggles we may have here, that one day we're going to be together in Your presence and we will never ever offend each other again. Never. And it will be beautiful and glorious. You will demonstrate and show the world, the universe, the glory of You in bringing people together from all walks of life and all statuses and all levels of education and social standing to stand together at Your throne and worship You and give You glory. We thank You that we taste that now, and we pray that it would remain and continue ever more deeply in us, this glorious, good, and pleasant unity. To Your honor and Your glory, we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.